How many are ready for the word of God this morning? Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and thank you, worship team. Amen. And I'm going to ask you to grab your Bibles here this morning. And let's turn to Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10. Amen. I'm not going to try to be too long here this morning, but I do have a 4th of July message. Amen. How many had a good 4th of July yesterday? How many popped fireworks? Amen. How many ate hot dogs and hamburgers and had a cookout, right? Amen. I know that you were probably at home, amen, in your backyard, or you probably, you know, whatever you did, but I hope that you were blessed. Amen. And I didn't want to let this weekend go by. Amen. Praise the Lord. Maybe somebody could turn that fan off for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. It is a little humid. Amen. But I think I can deal with the humidity versus the noise. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we had a good 4th of July yesterday also. Amen. There at my house. Amen. We put some burgers on the grill. Amen. And some bacon wrapped hot dogs. Amen. And then also, amen, we popped a few fireworks. Amen. Don't tell on me. Amen. Praise the Lord. But the whole neighborhood was doing it. Amen. So we had a good time. Amen. The fireworks show came to us. Usually we go, amen, to the fireworks show. We'll go to Lone Star Park or to downtown Arlington, and they have their fireworks shows there. But, you know, they didn't have them this year because of the pandemic. But, you know, Dalworth was popping. Come on, somebody. Amen. It was like a light show. Amen. I think we had the best firework. That was the best fireworks show I've ever seen. Come on, somebody. Come on. Talk to me now. Amen. Talk to me. Amen. I like you for you to talk to me. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we had a good time yesterday just being there with the fireworks and just celebrating our Independence Day. Amen. Our Independence Day. And that's America's birthday. I don't know if you know that, but that's America's birthday. And I think we Googled it. I think, what was it? How did we turn, son? 200 and what? 244 years, I believe. 244 years. Happy birthday, America. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many love our country? Amen. I know it's crazy. Amen. I know it's chaotic. But we still love our country. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're still the best nation, I believe, on this world. Amen. I don't think you'd want to live in China, communist China. Amen. Or communist Russia. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Or, you know, but I thank God that we live here in America. Amen. And we should pray for our country. Amen. Pray for our country. Pray for our president, whether you agree with him or not. Amen. Pray for him. Amen. We all need prayer. Pray for our leaders in the government, the Republicans, Democrats, all of them. Amen. We need to pray for all of them. Amen. And let's pray for our country. But this morning, amen, I have a special message, and I titled it, Let Freedom Ring. Let Freedom Ring. Amen. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10 says this. It says, proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. Proclaim liberty throughout the land to all of its inhabitants. Let's pray. Father, bless the reading of your word. Anoint it to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would just open up every heart and open up every mind to receive your word here this morning. I pray that you would encourage the church, strengthen the church, motivate the church, move the church. For your honor and for your glory. Lord, we thank you and we love you. I pray for your anointing upon my life, God. Give me strength to preach and anointing, Father God, Lord, to deliver this message here this morning. We love you in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10 was inscribed on the Liberty Bell. Wave at me, honk, if you know what the Liberty Bell is. It's in Philadelphia, right? This verse was inscribed on the Liberty Bell, which was rung as the Declaration of Independence was read for the first time in public in Philadelphia after being signed on July 4th, 1776. And on that day was the day that America was birthed. On the day that our founding fathers signed the Declaration of Independence, America was birthed. America declared its independence from Britain, from England. We declared our independence on that day because before, America was under the rule of King George of England, of the other side of the world, and he was the king over our land. We would have to pay tribute to the king, and you know, we would have to pay taxes. Now, even though I talked about earlier how it's right to pay taxes, but the problem was at the beginning was that Americans were paying taxes without representation. It was called taxation without representation. In other words, the government wanted Americans to pay taxes but didn't have nobody to represent America there as they made the laws. And that right there is where the Americans had a problem with. Long story short, anyways, this scripture was put on the Liberty Bell, Leviticus 25:10. And it read, proclaim liberty throughout the land to all of its inhabitants. Liberty throughout the land. I don't think some people they don't understand what liberty is. Because even though we live in a free country, people are still bound by their sins and their trespasses. There's still so many people bound to drug addiction. There's still so many people that are bound to sin, to pornography, to methamphetamine, to alcohol, to cigarettes. They're bound to sin, to immorality. Leviticus 25:10 says, proclaim liberty throughout the land to all of its inhabitants. This morning, I want to share with you three things that happened in 1776 at the first ever 4th of July that we can learn something as a church and as Christians from. We can learn, I want to give you three things that we can learn from as a church that took place on that first 4th of July in 1776. The first thing is this, and I hope you're taking notes. Number one, the Declaration of Independence was signed by 56 men. 56 men. This declaration was just a paper. You can go online, Google it, read it. And basically, it was a protest against England and against the King of England. There was basically complaints, and it declared America's freedom and our rights as citizens and as a sovereign nation. And 56 men, they called them delegates. These were men from the 13 colonies of America. They represented each of these colonies, each of these cities, each of these towns. These 56 men came from these 13 colonies. Men like George Washington, which became the first president of the United States. Men like Jefferson, who was the one who wrote the Declaration of Independence. So many men that came, and many men that Benjamin Franklin, famous men that we know, some that we don't know too much about. They all signed this Declaration of Independence. They signed it and they sent it to everybody in America, everybody throughout. They spread it out throughout the whole 13 colonies and saying, listen, people, this is us as America declaring ourselves to be a sovereign nation. This is us, and we declare ourselves are independent from England. They knew that this piece of paper was going to find its way to the king's table. They understood that this piece of paper was going to travel overseas and find itself in the palace. And they understood the consequences that would come from it. But this is why they said we have to sign it. And the Declaration of Independence was signed by 56 men. All of them, get this, all of them, when they signed that declaration, became traitors. All of these 56 men were traitors because they rebelled against England and their king. They rebelled against tyranny. See, back then, to be loyal to England, if there were some people that were in America that said, you know what, we don't want to break away. And they wanted to remain loyal to England. If you're that type of a person and you lived in the 13 colonies of America, you were considered a loyalist. In other words, you stayed loyal to the king. You stayed loyal to England. See, I broke my loyalty to the gang lifestyle. You want to know why? Because that lifestyle was not loyal to me back. I broke my loyalty to the kingdom of darkness. Because the kingdom of darkness was not loyal to me back. Listen, I believe in being loyal. I preach loyalty. Huh? But like the Americans, listen, if I'm going to pay taxes, I better be represented. In other words, you better look out for me. Today I stand before you a loyal man, loyal to God. Because God has been loyal to me. I stand before you a man that is loyal to this ministry, Victory Outreach International. Why? Because this ministry has been loyal to me. What other ministry would give a knucklehead like me an opportunity to preach the gospel, an opportunity to do something for God? What other ministry would choose men like Pastor Josh or Brother Alex or Brother Joe or any of you men to preach the gospel? But we came here and this ministry gave us an opportunity to do something for the honor and the glory of God. See, these men, they were traitors. They rebelled against England and their king. And in the same way, listen to me, church. Listen to me, those that are watching online. In the same way, we must rebel against the prince of the power of the air. We must rebel against the devil. We must rebel against the prince of the power of the air and turn to the prince of peace, which is Jesus Christ. We must rebel against Satan. If you're living in the world and you don't have Jesus in your life, you got to rebel against the devil and turn to God. Quit being loyal to the devil. He ain't loyal to you. He don't love you. He don't care about you. You got to turn from your evil ways. You got to turn from the devil and turn to God. See, I'll be a traitor against Satan and against the world. And against sin any day. Oh, you ain't hearing me. I said, I'll turn my back against the world and I'll turn my back against Satan. I'll turn my back against sin any day, my friend. I'll be a traitor to sin. I'll be a traitor, amen, to the world. There may come a day when Christians in America will be looked at as traitors because of what we believe. That day is fast approaching. We already have the government in one state trying to not allow Christians to sing praises in church. They said it this weekend. Oh, we don't think you should sing praise and worship in church. They're trying to muzzle our praise. They're trying to muzzle our praise, but not here in Texas, baby. Come on, somebody. We believe in God and country. We believe in singing loud. We believe in Jesus. We stand for Jesus Christ. We stand on the Word of God. We know that the church is essential. We know that the Word of God is essential. We know that prayer is essential. We believe that worship is essential. Praise is essential. That's why we had a worship service on Friday, because worship is essential. Gathering together is essential. This is why we're here this morning. This is why we still come to the church. We don't let no clouds or no little bit of sprinkles hold us back, because we believe not to forsake the assembly of the saints, even though we're not in the building. We say we know the church is not the building. The church is the people, and we're still going to gather because we have conviction and we're going to remain loyal to God. Holler if you hear me this morning. Number two. The first one is that they declared their independence they were traitors. The first point is you got to turn your back on Satan. Let me tell you something before I move on to number two. The Bible says that when you get saved, when you accept Jesus into your heart, the Bible says that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Oh, come on, somebody. My name may not be written on the Declaration of Independence. Are you hearing me? Huh? Are you following me? Oh, but my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? I see some of you watching online. If you're watching online, you need to write your name right there. Come on, somebody, and declare that you are being a traitor to the devil. You are being a traitor to sin by writing your name in the Lamb's, by allowing God to write your name in the Lamb's book of life. You're declaring that I have turned from the world. I have turned from sin. I have turned from the devil, and I am loyal to God now. It's some good preaching. Number two, second thing that we can learn from what happened on the first 4th of July. Shortly after the signing of the Declaration of Independence, Paul Revere, come on, I'm giving you a little bit of history this morning. I know some of you flunk history class. Hello. That's why God had to tell you you're going to retake it this morning. But shortly after the signing of the Declaration of Independence, Paul Revere rode through the colonies in America announcing, "The Redcoats are coming. The Redcoats are coming." Paul Revere. He was like a guy that was like a spy. He was his job to look out for the troops of England, which they wore red coats, so they called them red coats. And when he seen them coming, he got on his horse and started to ride through the 13 colonies to warn the new nation of the United States of America. The red coats are coming. The red coats are coming. The red coats are coming. What was this? This was a war cry. I said it was a war cry. This was a call to arms. Pull out your muskets. Pull out your rifles. Pull out your sidearms. It was a call for every American to turn that pitchfork into a sword. Turn that axe into a weapon. It was a war cry. And Paul Revere rode throughout the towns saying that the red coats are coming. The red coats are coming. What does this mean to the church today? Listen, the church should be a modern day Paul Revere. But instead of proclaiming the red coats are coming, the red coats are coming, we should be proclaiming Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus viene para atrás. Jesucristo viene. Jesus is coming. And the red blood of Jesus will wash away your sins. Even though your sins may be red as crimson, he will wash them and make them white as snow. See, the early church in the book of Acts was known for this. They were known for proclaiming Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. The early church in the book of Acts, they were known for this message. You know why? Because they believed it with all of their hearts. They believed that Jesus was coming back with all of their heart. They believed it with all their heart, mind, and soul. Listen, do we believe it today, church? Do we believe that Jesus is coming back? And because the early church believed this, and they preached this, that Jesus was coming. They had revival. They had revival. People were coming and getting saved by the thousands in the early church. Why? It was because of their passionate belief that Jesus could come back at any moment. they were passionate and they believed with all their heart that Jesus can come back at any time. And they knew that the return of Christ was imminent. How much more today? How much more today? I like the whole saying, Amazing Grace. There's a part in that song of Amazing Grace that says, for we know less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. That's a very heavy statement in that song. What it means is saying we're closer today than we were yesterday to the return of Christ. We're closer today than the early church was back then. We're closer today. We have no less day to sing God's praise than when we first begun. The return of Christ is imminent. He can come at any time. We need to believe that with all our heart. And when we do, we'll preach Jesus like it ain't nobody's business. And when we preach Jesus like it ain't nobody's business, we'll have revival and thousands and hundreds of people will give their heart to Jesus because of the passion they see inside of the church, because of the fire they see inside of the church. But where's our passion? Where's our fire? Where's our zeal? Where is that burning desire inside of us? Where is the urgency? There's some Christians that live with no urgency. You know, you can tell those Christians, they ain't doing nothing for God. They ain't doing nothing for God. We're not that type of ministry. We don't roll like that. People that want to be comfortable serving God, they get uncomfortable in our church. Because, man, we want to do something for God. We as the church, we can't get lax. We can't get lukewarm. We must stay passionate with the message of the gospel. We got to be careful during this quarantine that we don't let this pandemic quarantine our fire. Come on, somebody. Huh? We got to stay passionate. We got to continue to proclaim Jesus and liberty throughout the land. We got to continue to proclaim that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed, my friend. We have the answer. We need to continue to preach Jesus. Jesus set me free over 20 years ago from a lifestyle of drug addiction and gang lifestyle and a crazy lifestyle. And for 20 years, he's kept me free, my friend. And what Jesus did for me, he'll do for you. He'll do for anybody. But you got to taste and see that the Lord is good. Number three, lastly, at the signing of the Declaration of Independence, Benjamin Franklin said this to his 55 co-conspirators who signed the Declaration with him. Benjamin Franklin, I think he invented the light bulb, right? He was one that signed the Declaration. And when he signed it, he said this to all the other men that were signing it with him. Listen to what he said. This is a heavy statement. He said this: we must assuredly all hang together, or we assuredly will all hang separate. Catch that? Let me say it again. We must assuredly all hang together, or we will all assuredly all hang separate. What was he saying? What did he mean? He was referring, he was referring to it through this quote of the consequences if caught by the King of England. Their death by hanging. Because that's what they would do back then. They would, when they would kill you, they would hang you. They would hang you. And what he was saying, he says that would be the death that we would, that they would suffer. If we're caught, they're going to hang us. So he said, listen, the only way we're going to make it out of this The only way we're not going to hang, the only way the king is not going to hang us, is that we got to hang together. I said, we got to hang together. I said, we got to hang together. Come on, somebody. You know, we have all these signs nowadays that's saying we're in this together, right? We're in this together. We're in this together. Huh? We got to hang together. Listen. What does this mean to the church for us today? The point is this for the church, that we must hang together. We must hang together. We must not neglect the gathering of the saints. Because if we don't hang together, sin, Satan, and the world will destroy us. Did you get that? If we don't hang together, sin, Satan, and the world will destroy us. The devil doesn't go for the 99, but he goes after for the one sheep straddling the fence. He goes after the one sheep straddling the fence. You know, this is why even right now, a lot of people in the churches and Christians, they kind of fell off a little bit. They kind of fell off because before it was like, man, they come to church. Then the pandemic happened and the church had to kind of close down a little bit. We didn't close down, but we'd go online. Some people weren't disciplined enough to tune in. And it affected them. Come on, somebody. But they become an open target to the enemy. How can you be encouraged to serve God? You know, even though we can't really fellowship too much, just by coming and seeing each other. And so, oh, brother so-and-so still here. They're still serving God right there. She's still serving God right there. Pastor's still preaching. The leaders are still preaching. This person still, the worship team, they're still worshiping. They're still praising. The ushers are still at the post. The men of God are still in the house. The gang is still having gang service. The life groups are still meeting. That's an encouraging word right there. That's the fulfillment of the promise that Jesus said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates of hell might roar. They might rage. They might foam at the mouth against the church, but Jesus declared it. The gates of hell will not prevail against the body of Christ. We must assuredly all hang together, or we will assuredly all hang separate. You know how you're going to make it in the things of God? By sticking it out. Staying around the people of God. Even if it's just like this for now. Huh? This too will pass. Huh? But we got to stick together with the people of God. As much as we can through Zoom Life Group, through text message, through coming to church, we must stick together with the people of God, or the enemy will pluck us off one by one as we're by ourselves. Sin will overtake us. The world will overtake us. Jesus gave us the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 18 through 19. He says, go ye into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Great Commission to go in all the world and make disciples of all nations. In other words, he's saying, proclaim liberty throughout the land. Proclaim freedom to those that are bound by sin. Church, Victory Outreach, Grand Prairie, let freedom ring. Let it ring from your voice. Let it ring from your Facebook page. Let it ring. Let it ring. What are we doing this morning? We're letting freedom ring. And we're letting all Grand Prairie hear that Jesus Christ can set you free. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and resurrected on the third day so that you don't have to be bound by drug addiction. You don't have to be bound by pornography. You don't have to be bound by depression. You don't have to be bound by sadness. You don't have to be bound by the enemy, by the world. You could be set free. You can have freedom. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He whom the Son sets free is. What do you need to be set free from this morning? Worry, doubt, fear, sickness, disease. What do we need to be set free from this morning? Drugs, alcoholism. Some people continue to go back to alcohol. Some people were drinking last night. You were set free from that. Jesus sets you free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. But you know, some people lock themselves back up. Some Christians lock themselves back up by returning to their vomit, returning to their bondage. You can't help somebody who, listen, who you bail them out of jail, but then they keep on doing stuff to put themselves back in jail, right? That used to be us, remember? Listen, once Jesus sets you free, stay free, man. Stay free. Don't go back to your bondage. Listen, he'll bail you out again, and he'll bail you out again, but listen, after a while, people get tired of bailing you out. Then they say, you know what? Learn your lesson, right? You remember. Come on, somebody. You remember, amen. You always call, Mom, bail me out. Dad, bail me out. They bail you out 3, 4, 5, 6 times. And then finally they say, you know what? Learn your lesson. Sit there. Sometimes God has to do us like that. Say, so, you know what? Okay. You know what? Just sit there. Sit in your misery. Wallow in the mud a little bit. These are lessons that we can learn from the 4th of July, declaring our independence from sin. I've declared my independence from sin 20 years ago on March 4th, the year 2000. That's my spiritual birthday. That's the day when I let Jesus into my heart. When Jesus came into my heart, March 4th, the year 2000. This is my spiritual birthday. I've been serving God for 20 years now. But on that day, I declared independence. I used to be addicted, man, to weed and to coke. I snorted coke. I was a drug dealer. I drank more alcohol than a fish drinks water. I went to the clubs. I was bound by the clubs and the drugs, and I went to the bars, and I was all messed up. I carried a pistol. I was a gang member. I robbed people. I was addicted to money. I was greedy. I was addicted to that lifestyle. I was addicted to that lifestyle. I grew up, I didn't grow up a gang member, but at 12, 13 years old, I joined a gang. My parents didn't raise me to be a gang member, but in the neighborhood I lived in, it was a gang member neighborhood. I went to school with gang members. I hung around with gang members. So I became a gang member. I remember going to elementary school and seeing the tagging on the wall in the restrooms. And when I would see the tagging, it would attract me, like, man, that's cool. That's cool. That attracted me. The writing on the wall attracted me. I remember seeing the gangs tag up, and I said, wow, I want to get me a marker, and I want to tag something. Come on, somebody. That attracted me. But I knew I wasn't a gang, so I said, man, but I'm not in a gang, so I guess I got to get in a gang first before I can put my name on the wall. That lifestyle started to attract me. And I got swallowed into that lifestyle at an early age. And so I became a gang member at an early age, junior high, sixth grade. Sixth grade, it attracted me. Junior high, I joined the gang. And then from joining the gang, because I thought it was the cool thing to do, the tough thing to do, then seeing them wear red, because they wore red, my gang wore red. I said, man, I want to hang a red bandana out of my back pocket. That looks pretty cool. I want to crease my pants. I want to have some khaki Dickies and a red Dicky shirt and a red bandana, red flag. Sorry, Pastor Josh. I want to have some Lokes. And then that's what I started to do. I got jumped into the neighborhood at 13 years old, 14 years old. They jumped me into the neighborhood. And then not soon after that, I started to get involved in gang activity. All of a sudden, they were like, hey, one friend invited me over and said, hey, come over to the house. And all of a sudden, he pulled out a couple joints. And I said, what's that? He said, you never smoke? I said, nah, I never smoke. He said, you want to try it? I said, why not? took that first hit, and all of a sudden that song came on. I'm in love with Mary Jane. I fell in love real quick. She became my main thing. Me and Mary Jane. Some people, you know, they were addicted to coke or meth. I was addicted to weed. I didn't really like coke too much. I didn't like that stuff. I liked weed. I started smoking weed. And I said, ooh. And ever since then, I became a pothead. I smoked so much weed. My God, I smoked so much weed. I naturally smelled like weed. Everywhere I went, you know, people would just look around like, oh, that's just me. You're just smelling me. I got addicted. Then after a while, I started popping other drugs, acid. And then I started to like coke. I said, man, this coke thing seems pretty good. Started drinking a lot of alcohol, a lot of beer, malt liquor, OE. I'm going to remember OE. Come on, somebody. That was that, when you, that cheap liquor. Amen. That quick buzz. Amen. Started drinking and, man, started just getting. And then I said, man, this, I like to feel good. I thought that was feeling good. I was addicted to life. Went to parties and got addicted to that lifestyle. All the way to the age of 20, I was drinking, smoking weed, in and out of jail. And in order to support my habit, well, I had to have money. So I broke into cars, broke into houses, robbed people at gunpoint. I became addicted to that lifestyle. For all those years, from 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 9 years of just living that lifestyle. Of sin. I thought I was going to die like that. I knew I was going to go to prison. I did end up going to prison. And when I went to prison, I said, oh, man, if I go to prison, I'm never going to get out. I'm never going to get out. So you think, if I go to prison, I'm never going to get out. Because I heard the stories about prison. Come on, somebody. How many of you know your stories about prison? Don't drop the soap. I said, man, that's going to be hard to do. I ain't going out like that. Because I'm going to have to shank me somebody. That's how I used to think. Isn't it? Once I do, I ain't coming out. But I thank God. You know what happened? I thank God. You know what happened right before I went to prison? Jesus saved me. Jesus saved me. Jesus rescued me. The light came on. I heard the gospel, and it made sense. I probably heard it before, but it didn't make sense because I was blinded. But it was until that one day that when I finally heard it, and I said, oh, okay, I think I understand it a little bit. Jesus died for my sins. I don't know why he would do that for a man like me. I'm nobody. I'm a sinner, but yet he died for me. Man, that's real love. That's a real homeboy right there. I said, that's a real friend right there. So that's a real God right there. That'll die for a homeboy like me. A wretched man like me. And I remember that day he came in, like the grace of God flooded my heart. A man that didn't believe in crying was broken and crying before his presence. And I didn't know what was taking place in my life. I didn't know why I was crying. I don't know why I was broken. But I know today that it was God breaking the chains. It was God declaring my independence. It was God setting me free from the alcohol, from the weed, from the drugs. It took a while. I'm not going to say I just started all real quick and, you know, became a Christian. You know, I gave my life to the Lord. I struggled a little bit, but you know what? God kept breaking the chains. He kept breaking the chains. He started with the weed. He started with the weed. When he set me free from weed, I was like, what, man? There has to be a God. To get me not to smoke weed, I said, whoa, there is a God, God Almighty. And then the drinking, I had a little bit of problem. I said, you know, weed is bad. I can drink a little bit, you know. Matter of fact, I think I read it in the Bible. Some people drank wine. So I was like, I could drink a little bit. And I remember God was saying, the Holy Spirit said, nah, no. Mm-mm. And I remember saying, well, God, let me drink near beer. You remember, you know, near beer? Old duels and stuff, right? And I said, I got a near beer. And you know, the Holy Spirit used a person from the world to convict me. I remember it was my brother-in-law. We went to a restaurant. I was trying to serve God. I was a Christian now. I wasn't going to church because I didn't know about church. But I stopped smoking weed. I started to read the Bible. And we went to dinner. He ordered a beer. Me and my sister ordered food. And I said, well, I'm not going to order a Budweiser, but, you know, you have near beer? They said, well, we have Old Duels, I think. I said, yeah, I'll take one of those. They brought it. And my brother-in-law looked at me and said, what are you doing? He's over there drinking a beer, you know. What are you doing? He's like, he's like, I thought you were changing. Kind of looked at me, right? I thought you were changing. You're a Christian. And I said, I am. He says, well, why are you drinking? I said, this ain't beer. He said, yeah, it is. I said, that doesn't have no alcohol. He said, yeah, it does. I said, no, it don't. He said, yeah, it does. He says, and he takes the bottle. He reads it. He said, 2% alcohol. He showed it to me. I said, wow. And then I got convicted by the Holy Spirit. I said, what are you doing? I put it away. I didn't drink it. I said, I'm trying to compromise. I'm trying to straddle the fence. And God had to use a sinner to convict me. But I thank God, because after that, I never drank again. I said, I have not drank on purpose. Hello, somebody. On purpose, amen. One time, not so long ago, I was hungry. We went to Cheddar's. There was no seat, so we sat at the bar section, but we don't drink. We ordered food, and they said, what do you want to drink? I said, well, I want some, you know, I looked at the menu, and they had this thing called Texas tea. I said, I'll take a Texas tea. I said, right up. They bring it up, and they bring it in a nice, fancy cup. I said, oh, look at their tea. It's fancy. I was thinking it's tea, you know. So I'm thirsty. I take a big old swig, but as soon as it hits my mouth, I can smell and sense the tingling of alcohol. I said, whoa! Spit it out. I spit it all out. I said, what is this, man? I told the waiter, what is this? He says, it's Texas tea. I said, man, Texas is crazy. Amen. I said, I don't want that. I want regular tea. I didn't swallow, but I caught a buzz. I ain't drank in 18 years. The devil's tricky, man. One time we went to Mexico. Me and my wife, we had meetings, ministry meetings. And they put us in a fancy hotel. And in that fancy hotel in Mexico, we went into the restroom. They gave us little candies, little chocolates. I said, oh, look, it's cool. They gave us snacks. I said, I'm hungry. I opened up that snack, popped it in my mouth. It was like a chocolate. I said, this stuff tastes like alcohol. My wife said, it is alcohol. Dummy, spit it out. I said, Mexico's crazy. Come on. Listen, the devil always try to pull you down. Don't fall for his craftiness. But listen, I haven't drank for 20 years. Because he set me free. I haven't smoked cigarettes for 20 years. I haven't done any of it for 20 years. Because he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Don't get me wrong. I could go right now down the street and buy me a Budweiser. But I don't want to. I don't have the desire to. I got family that drinks. I go to the cookout sometimes. They're drinking. I'll take my family out on a little outing. We'll go to a hotel, this and that. We see people drinking. I look, and you know that familiar spirit comes. I look at them. I say, ooh, man, I remember those days. And they make it look so good sometimes. Can I be real? They make it look good. They make that margarita look so good. They make that clamato look so good. Right? They mix it all. Michelada stuff. They mix it all. Cold. I said, ooh. I remember them. Ooh-wee, man. I remember them days. We man, there's that spirit. Come on, somebody. All of a sudden, that mind starts to ticking like, ooh, huh? Come on now. But I catch myself, and I remember those days. Come on, somebody. I remember those days. I say, man, I remember what that done to me. Huh? I remember who I am in Christ Jesus. I remember the mud that God brought me out of. I remember the pit that God brought me out of. And I said, how dare I go back to wallow in the mud? How dare I go back and go back to my vomit? I go around sometimes in my neighborhood, Dalworth. I'll be walking around sometimes. And the homies over there, they be chiefing it up. And sometimes I smell it. I say, ooh, that's some good stuff right there. Come on now. I know good stuff when I smell it. This thing working. Don't look at me like that. Some of you like, man, pastor, I'm not your normal pastor. We're not your average church. Huh? I walk by, I said, ooh, that's some good stuff. That's some skunk. I said, man, better get out of here. Come on now. I better get out of here. But I thank God Jesus set me free. Listen, if he wouldn't have set me free, then I would fall back into that. But because it's a real work, I don't fall back into that. And you know what? You got to fight for your freedom. Salvation is free, but you got to fight for your freedom. How do you fight? Through prayer and the word, through worship, through coming to church. That's how you fight your battles. Because it's here where you come to get equipped. It's here where you come to get equipped and strengthened. And it gets you to go back into the week motivated and say, I'm going to continue to serve God because of what pastor said, because of the message, because of the preaching, because of the altar call, because I felt the power and the presence of God. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to continue to go forward. I'm going to press forward to the upward calling in Christ Jesus. Worship team, help me out this morning. Stand to your feet this morning. Lift your hands this morning. Declare your freedom. Declare your freedom. Declare your freedom. Say, Lord, I've been set free. I've been set free. Hallelujah. Raise the blood-stained banner of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The altar's open. You want to come?